Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dylan Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll revisit the conversation we had last week with business leaders from the Las Vegas area talking about different parts of the economy. Joining us were Joe Hernandez, President and Chief Operating Officer of insurance company Branch Hernandez & Associates, Stephen Brown, Director of the UNLV Center for Business and Economic Research, Doug Geinzer, CEO of the Southern Nevada Medical Industry Coalition, Lori Nelson, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Station Casinos, Larry Charlton, Head of Nevada Operations for City National Bank, and Tina Quigley, General Manager of the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada. We gathered the leaders here recently at Vegas Inc. for a conversation about what the future holds and what lessons they learned. Here, let's listen in as they talk about what they expect for their industries in 2013.
What are your expectations for your industry in 2013? Start, Larry.
Well, expectations, banks make more money when interest rates start rising. That's not going to happen. You know, Bernanke's already said it, and you're not going to see rates rise. First of all, it costs the country too much with the debt that's out there. You start raising rates, you raise rates on our debt. Or the countries that are buying it get a little bit more income. You don't want to do that. So that's one of the things that's going to hold it down. I mean, end of the day, we buy money low and we sell it high. As simple as what it is, and the spreads right now are pretty thin. So we think that what we're going to see is a continuation of about where we are through 2012. Slight uptick, but that plane is loaded and trying to take off. And it's just barely, it hasn't gotten off the ground yet, but it's rolling down the runway. So we think that it's going to be a tough year to see profit growth.
Well, speaking of rolling down the runway, what can we look forward to for transportation?
In transportation, I think you're going to continue to see an increase in ridership. I think more and more people are going to start to realize that maybe being a two-car family isn't an essential, and that they can be a one-car family and either carpool or take transit into work. And we will locally be continuing to work on our workforce mobility plans, reaching out to people, informing them of what transit options are available. I am concerned from the streets and highways perspective that funding is going to continue to dwindle. Our motor vehicle sales tax, like I mentioned, has decreased. And to the point now that even our fare box revenue, we make more money now on fare ticket collection than we do in motor vehicle fuel tax. Our fuel tax is not indexed. It's just set at 9 cents a gallon. And as people, even though gallons per gas continues to increase, the investment into infrastructure does not necessarily. And as people are moving towards the electrification of vehicles or natural gas vehicles, that's less motor vehicle fuel tax that's coming in. So, but at the same time, we know that if we're going to grow Southern Nevada, that infrastructure investment is really important. So we are going to, from the streets and highways perspective, be really trying to balance things out. And then from a transit perspective, I think we will continue to see growth.
Tina, just a quick follow-up.
Yeah.
What's most at risk with declining revenue in terms of either infrastructure or maintenance? How will we see this play out in terms of my driving around town?
Well, the worst thing that would happen is that you wouldn't see maintenance, or you wouldn't see the regular maintenance that you need to see, and then you wouldn't see any growth. And there are areas of town that are going to continue. If we are truly going to create a community where people choose to live, you know, congestion cannot be one of the limitations that we've got. If businesses are going to move to here, what they look for is a workforce that can get to their place of business within 20 minutes. So adding congestion or just limiting access to those locations is going to inhibit our ability to grow and diversify our economy.
Doug, how about healthcare? What's ahead for us?
I think we're going to see a lot of mergers and acquisitions going on. A lot of these smaller practices, 1, 2, and 3 doctor practices, don't have the infrastructure in place to adopt to the Affordable Care Act, so they're going to be acquired by the larger organizations. I think you're also going to see some of the primary care physicians retire. They're just tired of the game and they're going to exit. They aren't earning the kind of money that they were accustomed to earning just because the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rates are so low. we're going to be challenged in that we already have a primary care physician shortage, that we have this influx of the uninsured that will now become insured and will start seeking out care. So how do we deliver that care in a reasonable sense? So a lot of talk will be about what we call a scope of practice. That is, can a primary or can a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant handle some of that initial assessment of a patient so they don't need to see a physician? So there will be a lot of talk about that. I know one of the opportunities that we're working on right now is with the Las Vegas Visitors and Convention Authority and bringing together the healthcare industry and the hospitality industry for what's called medical tourism. And that is, how do we position Las Vegas to become a healthcare destination? And not in the fact that we're going to become a transplant capital, but there are centers of excellence where people are traveling here already for certain types of care, whether that be plastics or bariatric surgery or fertility. Cancer's taken a nice lead, as well as brain health has. So how do we take those centers and scale those to help put heads in beds, and at the same time start building up our healthcare infrastructure to serve the local community at the same time, so when we get sick, we don't have to travel out of market.
Medical tourism, that probably sounds pretty good to the gaming industry.
Sure, we like heads in beds, absolutely. The in gaming, the market is continuing to heal, and we can't lose sight that this is still a challenging operating environment. But we're looking forward to continuing with that modest growth in revenue. And, you know, again, I want to point to the stability in the locals market, where we're coming off three quarters in a row of kind of showing those modest increases. So we've seen that modest improvement, but we need to continue to drive revenue and improve our operating margins and flow through. And that's really going to be key for gaming.
Joe, how about small biz?
Well, you know, the construction industry really drove a lot of the economy here in Las Vegas, and we were fortunate to work on the City Center project and oversee some of the insurance administration for that. That was a great project for 5 years. We also were involved with the defunct Echelon, several of other projects at the airport. So during that period of time, we saw a tremendous amount of growth. What I think has happened right now with the economy being the way it is not only the loss of the construction industry has created a great deal of a recession here, but it was kind of a trickle-down effect. So all the small businesses providing services, whether it was a restaurant or cleaners or whatever, they've reduced their workforce and have also lost a tremendous amount of revenue. I think in reviewing the governor's economic development plan, if there's a way to encourage in the next 12 months some stimulation of bringing new industry in to the state of Nevada, I think that in turn will then affect gaming, healthcare, banking, transportation, and of course small business by creating opportunities again to get our economy back and going. But I still think, even on a national level, construction drives the economy, and small business is the backbone that kind of it helps accelerate that.
I've got one bright spot to follow up on that our California brethren have seen with their budgets, and they're raising taxes right now, and something's getting ready to hit the end of the year. I've talked to two manufacturers in California in the last week that want to move here.
Yay!
Seriously. And the reason is taxes. People are not going to stay in that state. Now, that's kind of good and bad for
the same thing yesterday at the party.
Kind of good and bad for us, because a good California makes us better, you know, because we get a lot of people visiting from there. So I never want to wish California ill at all. But there is some of that going on. And being a bank in both places, somebody can move here and still bank with the same bank. You know, that can happen with U.S. Bank or Bank of America, any of the larger banks. And so we are seeing that discussions starting to happen.
You see, that's exciting.
That is. It's so exciting to hear. And so I think it's our goal, our vision, and it's our responsibility, all of us as Southern Nevadans, to be prepared for that, to start investing in ourselves, to say, okay, you know, it all came so easy to us. I came here in the year 1990, and it just seemed like,
we were all that. You know, people came here just because we were who we were. And so it was very humbling and humiliating as we woke up and we realized, okay, that came easy to us. Now we're going to have to work for it. And so I get excited when I hear about stuff like that. But there's a call to action for all of us, too.
Exactly.
We need to be ready.
The issue is education.
Exactly.
Because they've got to have workers. The one I was talking to yesterday is an aerospace contractor. And they don't need hammer and nail people. They need somebody with education fill those jobs.
You're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 8 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. And we're listening in today to a conversation between several business leaders from the gaming, transportation, healthcare, and financial sectors about what they learned in 2012 and what they predict for 2013.
Where should the money come from first to better our schools and roads and all that, in your opinion?
Where should it come from?
Well, yeah, and
you know where it comes from now.
That's a loaded
taxes.
Question.
That's a loaded question. Nobody wants higher taxes, but
no.
But that is an investment.
Yeah, and I agree. You have
in us. And so I don't want to pay for it, but I see the importance of it. And I think a lot of people, and it's extremely important.
Actually, if you look at economic research, it shows that communities that invest in infrastructure and in education tend to do better.
Yes.
It's a big fat doy, but at the same time, it's painful and it's hard to take action on it.
Well, and it's a little naive, but the answer is everyone's responsible. And you've really leaned on a couple industries like mining and gaming in the past, where it was always easy and everyone else kind of had that cover, but you have to diversify and broaden, everyone kind of stepping up in that way and sharing in that responsibility.
Well, we saw what happened with property taxes pay for a lot. And it's true. Nobody wanted to do it. It's not just gaming, it's property taxes. Mm-hmm. That's where your bulk of your money comes from.
The public rejected the...
And the public rejected it 2-1, which really... shouldn't have happened, I don't think, because we got to have that infrastructure, and we need more of it.
Well, did any of the companies that are represented by the industries here actively support or otherwise help the Clark County School District bond issue? What was the engagement with the private sector in helping to get passage of that ballot measure?
You know, I think that ballot measure probably just needed more time. To be out there educating the community and really, you know, being out there grassroots, because that does take time to educate. I mean, you've seen past bond issues for building more schools, and they've successfully passed before, but this is a different climate now, and there's a lot more explanation and needing to knock on doors and having some intelligent dialogue, and, you know, you'll see it come back. It'll probably go through legislative discussion and things like that. And I think with more thoughtful conversation and really educating people, that's something that, you know, will be taken seriously and looked at in the coming years.
Did any companies step up to help with that education among their employees?
Not that I'm aware of. That doesn't mean that I have a widespread knowledge of that.
I'm not aware of it either.
I did not know of any organized effort by the school district or other companies to get behind that.
In the past. I mean, like, if you look at previous bond issues, there was that rallying and support. And it may, you know, and I can't speak for the school district, nor do I know, but it, you know, it just feels like maybe it was a timing issue that if they had started a little earlier, it could have maybe gained more momentum leading into the election cycle.
I don't believe the school district was the driving force. I think they supported it. I think it's the people that were behind the initiative were the ones that I think fell short. And it's like anything else. If you're educated on the issue and you understand its purpose and who's backing it and what it's going to do, I think it would have gained a heck of a lot more support. But I just think it was a little stealth, the way that it was handled.
So what are your business and industries doing to better position yourself for 2013? I'll open that up.
Partnership. As much as we can partner with interested private sector, we're going to focus on that, whether it's in transit, where we will partner with a casino to develop a park and ride facility for employees to park and then ride transit to wherever it is that they're...
We've been partnered with you guys for years.
Yeah, you have. Great partnership. or on streets and highways, taking a look. We're going to start exploring public-private partnerships with large construction companies who would be interested in doing something like Boulder City Bypass. We're going to be exploring tolling as an option as well for Boulder City Bypass. So kind of breaking the mold when it comes to traditional transit and transportation. We won't be as an operating as an island as much. We're really going to have to reach out and have partnerships.
One of the things the university is doing is historically UNLV has produced more engineering and science graduates than can find jobs in Southern Nevada. So one of the things the university is doing is we have a new Office of Economic Development that's trying to promote partnerships with the private sector and with the hopes of, one, transferring university technology to the private sector, and two, actually creating opportunities for people who graduate from UNLV to continue to stay in this community and contribute to its growth.
Did you see the 60 Minutes piece last week?
I wondered the same thing. I did not.
There was a Truckee Meadows Community College in the north is training 60 or 20 people with funds, with a grant, that are training them in the computerized machinery that some of the manufacturers in the north, one in particular I happen to know very well because I know the owners, Clickbond, is a aerospace. They're in the Airbus, they're in the F-35, they're fasteners. And they are hiring people from that training, from the partnership of Truckee Meadows.
Interesting.
And it was fascinating. It was right there on 60 Minutes, and they talked about Nevada.
I have to watch that online.
Go online and look at that. And that type of partnership needs to be done.
I think it's worthy to touch on the realignment of the workforce development efforts by the governor. An executive order just came down on Monday this week, giving the governor's Workforce Investment Board and the sector councils more autonomy. So they're able to define where jobs are actually being created to develop programs, just like the program that was developed at Truckee Meadows. And we were fortunate to work with one of the Workforce Investment Boards to develop the Healthcare 2020 program. And in 9 months, we were able to design, develop, and implement the most successful workforce program in the state of Nevada. And frankly, we think it may be a national best. And we reversed the whole model. We went out and found where the demands were, and we created training programs to meet those demands. And there's, with that, in Southern Nevada, there's $26 million a year that comes down to Southern Nevada through the Department of Labor that doesn't, it's not attached to an IOU. And we haven't really leveraged that before in the past.
What I'm trying to now focus on what role government needs to play in the recovery process. What are your expectations of federal lawmakers, state lawmakers, and maybe what one thing can our legislators, federal or state, do to get Southern Nevada's economy on track?
I can speak for gaming on that one for sure, I'm sure you're going to all know my answer, but it's the federal legislation for online gaming. And we think that's a very important step that we need on a federal level in order, you know, it'll be great for the Las Vegas market, for job growth. You know, we are the highest regulated gaming industry out there. No one knows it better than Vegas. But, you know, you've got to fix that Wire Act out there a little bit. And because right now you can go state by state, and now there it kind of opens it up, and you want to be able to really have a thoughtful strategy in place and do this right. And we believe, you know, and we've set up Fertitta Interactive for online wagering and just got approval through the Nevada regulators, but we prefer federal, and we think that's the best way to go. And so that's probably top on our agenda of what's most important to us.
Clarify beyond poker.
No, online poker right now. I think you're going to want to look at an evolution somewhere down the line. You know, you're obviously seeing the mobile sports applications kind of out there on a state-by-state basis. But right now, I think poker would be a wonderful opportunity, and it makes sense and would provide a lot of benefit in the states, with especially how unregulated and what's happening outside the states.
Who else?
Dodd-Frank on the financial institutions is fixing that compliance and that regulation to where it doesn't cost us anymore, if we can possibly do it. And having Congress understand the industry, I
sure you run into that, but they really don't understand the ins and outs of Wall Street banks versus commercial banks versus any other types of banks. And you just can't paint the whole thing with a broad brush and expect to fix it. So on the local side, we just continue to truck. We want to make certain that we don't have any local regulation on the financial industry that hurts, and that generally doesn't happen. So it's at the federal level.
Well, there's some federal regulation that's being proposed, especially for, in my specific industry of insurance, where you have a federal insurance regulator as opposed to a state regulator. I think states should be allowed, or should continue to have the control over how they operate. And I think what you're referring to, the things I'm concerned about locally, on the federal level, I think we have access to most of our representatives and we can sit down and talk to them. Collectively, if there's a consensus, I think some of those issues can be brought forward and hopefully some action can be taken. But the reality of it is, again, just like we're talking about, if you don't have consensus, you have two people are too far left and too far right, not enough of centrists to be able to make a decision that's in the best interest of the constituency and not of the party, I don't know when anything's going to get done. On the local level, I think we have a good balance of representation on both the legislative side and on the Senate side for the state of Nevada. The only thing that I would be concerned with, as we talked before, is the taxation issues. I don't want a margin tax. The modified business tax that we incurred for our business and for a lot of small businesses, it basically doubled the tax. So if your payroll exceeds a certain limit, $62,000 I think it is, then you get taxed above that. I think those taxes that should have been sunsetted and weren't, hopefully will be, at this next go-around, will be sunsetted permanently. But we just need to find ways to find relief. The other thing that concerns us is access to capital. I think on a federal and on a state level, because most banks are federally regulated, is I think for businesses that the governor had a conference a couple of weeks ago. One of the issues that was discussed was how does somebody that's been in business for several years that has fallen as far as their revenues and their credit history because of the economy, how do they go back out and try to recover or try to capture some opportunities without having a bank allow them to borrow money? Because if you look at them historically, how they performed, you might see that the trend now is a profitable trend, but not at the level that they maybe were doing 3 to 5 years ago. So those issues, I think, that we really need to address for this state.
Definitely on that, and the access to capital. What the banks run into is, a lot of people don't realize, is when the regulators come in and look at our portfolio, if they start downgrading loans because we only look back 6 months at profit rather than 2 years at profits, because you go backwards 2 years, you're not going to find somebody that's had positive profit trends. And if we have to downgrade loans and then that pulls more money out of our capital into the loan loss reserves, and all of a sudden a loan that was profitable, even though it's paying, becomes unprofitable. So what needs to happen is, Congress talks one way, the regulators talk the other. They got, because of the problems with banks, the regulators got beat up. Something horrible, I'm certain, as to how they regulated banks and how they did their audits and their investigations of lending portfolios, because a lot of those went bad. So now they're tougher than ever. So even though we're sitting, for instance, my bank, we got $6 billion worth of unloaned asset, money that could be turned into assets. We want to make those loans, but we can't.
Right. The Dodd-Frank ties your hands.
Well, it's the underwriting regulations of lending. And, I mean, I understand it. We don't loan our own money. We loan depositors' money. I understand the regulating, and it's proper to regulate banks because of that. But it's the appraisals also, the loan-to-values. One of the things you said about 13, we've got loans on the books that have been on the books 5 years that were built in to have a 20-year AM or a 10-year AM and a balloon payment at the end of five. Well, that's coming due right now. Well, it might have been an $8 million loan that's been paid down to, let's say, $6 million, and it was on a commercial building that was a $12 million building when the loan was made. That same building will now appraise for six. So if we're doing 70% loan to value, okay, you got 30% of that is $2 million. To renew the loan, a loan that has been paying perfectly, they got to hand me a $2 million check.
I'm going to go around the table one more time and ask, what has to happen for your industry to fully recover from the Great Recession, and how long do you expect that to take? Let's start with Dr. Brown.
Well, overall, I don't think the economy for the United States will recover fully now to about 2017, 2018. And I expect Nevada to be a little bit behind that. And if we think of real estate as being having to be back the way it was in 2007, the answer is never.
Tina?
So what would it take for us to, when do we see it after the question?
Yeah, what, how long do you expect it to take, and what has to happen for you to completely recover from the recession?
I think my industry is one that's really going to be changing as we move forward. I do expect the more urbanization that we have in Las Vegas, in the downtown area and in certain areas, you will see more and more people taking transit. In fact, I fully expect it to exceed, you know, its previous levels. In fact, I think we're already up there. We're getting close if we're not already. So in terms of transit, I think that we're going to be a growth industry anyways. And certainly in our paratransit, we will be a growth industry as our population ages. There will be more and more demand for paratransit, and that will be costly for us. In streets and highways, we're never going to get that motor vehicle fuel tax back ever. We will continue to see electrification of vehicles and natural gas vehicles, so that's not coming back, and it's up to us to figure out how we're going to rectify that. We still need the federal government to, even though they approved the transportation bill, they haven't allocated the money associated with it yet, and that's about 17% of our revenue comes from federal grants. So, and we expect that number to be dwindling as well.
Jill?
That's a very good question. I was trying to think of any. There's probably a handful of recession-proof businesses, I think, that survived during this economic downturn, but the reality of it, I think, is probably the next 3 to 5 years you may see some slight increase in profits for the small business people, but I still think the uncertainties of the Patient Protection Care Act, of our current legislators and the economy, and I mean, there's so many other factors that come into it that I think there's a, I think we talked about before, there's minimal optimism as to how successful one can be. And I think the concerns overall is how much of my money am I going to get to keep that I make, and how much of my money am I going to have to pay out in taxes. So that's a big concern to the businesses.
All right, that wraps up our conversation with business leaders from the Las Vegas area looking back on 2012 and ahead to 2013. You can follow this coverage and lots of other coverage at vegasinc.com or lasvegassun.com. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the KUNV team. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day.